Well, hello. That was awesome. I love to...
Good evening.
Yes. Kind of put you in the right frame. Now, I know, but you're kind of funny, so that was kind of serious, but...
Don't worry, I'll annihilate it.
Yeah. But it's good that we can, but it's good that we can, you know, we can get serious. And this is actually, this session that we're going to be doing, this is our wheelhouse. This is our sweet spot. We talk about communication in relationships and in marriages and in families. And, you know, even I'm the women's pastor at my church. I talk about communication quite frequently there. So this is our passion, because a part of what we believe is at the heart of every good relationship is good communication. And good communication starts with, when you've messed up, how do you actually make up? How do you actually go beyond that? And how do you communicate when, you know, things haven't gone well? And so that's what this session's about. Super duper excited.
Yeah. And you may have sat on a card, if you noticed that.
Yeah. Did you sit on a card? You did.
So we now have your DNA. We're going to run samples. No. If you want, fill that out and turn it in to David, who's looking mighty fine tonight in his Hume garb.
In his Hume apparel.
We had to class him up today.
Yeah, that's right. So there he, take me to Hume.
That was super celebratory. I like it, David. There he keeps just fist pumping in the air. That's good. So fill that out, because what I'm going to do on Thursday, or what we will do, you could be like Vanna White, and okay, I'll be that other guy.
Patrick
Swayze.
Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak.
That was good.
Yeah.
All right, just kidding.
All right.
Isn't that the worst when you go to give someone a high five and they're like, hey, joking? So fill that out, because on Thursday, I'm going to do multiple drawings. We actually have a massive online library of courses, literally, I think, over 70 hours of video that I had digitized from all of our small group studies. And so I went through painstaking, especially to digitize workbooks that we no longer had the original files to. Let me tell you, that's exciting. And so what's cool, though, about it is it's a great tool, just not only for your own relationship, but you can use your own account and use all the different studies with your small groups. So all the workbook stuff is online. Everybody can log in. So it's a $250 value, and I'll be given like at least three of them away. So if you want to try to win that, because obviously, like in our family tradition yesterday, we believe in gambling.
The bingo. So it's basically, Are we going to be playing some bingo, some, you know.
Yeah, strip poker.
Lottery. What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we're not going to be doing that. Yeah.
That'd be inappropriate.
Yeah.
So fill that out, turn it in. Yeah. And I'm also tonight. Yes, tonight.
Tonight, yes. And we found a lot more of our books back there.
Not a lot more, just one more.
Okay, just one more.
So I will be giving these things away tonight.
Woohoo!
Yeah. But you're going to have to do humiliating things to win them.
No. I'll protect you. I'll make sure he doesn't make you do anything weird.
What did you do? Because we already went over the I married Miss Literal. Oh, my heavens. We were watching a movie tonight. Land of the Lost.
Yeah.
Land of the Lost, which is a ridiculous movie with Will Ferrell, and it's a stupid premise, right? It's a slapstick movie where they're in like a parallel universe. Do parallel universes exist? Well, we don't know, but probably not, right? So there's a scene with like a motel pool where like the guys are all swimming. She's like, wait a minute, how did a pool get there?
I just didn't think it was very, it fit the, you know.
The entire premise of the movie doesn't fit anything.
That's true. You're right. And the big bug that bites the guy is like, you know, I know.
Wait,
I know.
There aren't crabs that are that big.
Whatever. Anyway.
Sorry,
you digress.
I had to share that one.
I
will try to come up with one every night from an experience during the day. And I will probably...
Yeah. I should come up with my own thing, my own Michaelism things. I'll do that, right?
Wow, there was a lot of energy for that.
Yes. See, let's see.
Well, I know she's not going to win anything tonight.
Oh, yes, she is, because right. He knows who wears the pants in this family. No, I'm just kidding.
I will give her something now because she was so cruel to me. Maybe I can win her over. We'll sign this for you later. So this is our marriage book, Reignite Your Marriage, in only 2 days, people.
Yeah.
So I'll see, that's how you win over shameful people.
That's right, yeah.
All right, so when it comes to good and healthy communication, you cannot forget that at the core of a good conversation with anybody, especially when it's difficult, you cannot forget to highly honor and value the person. So, because think about it. Every time your communication breaks down, what's happening? Are you talking nicely? Are you talking in honoring tones? Are the words coming out of your mouth reflecting and honoring? No. Right? That's where it breaks down. Is we somehow think that because you've offended me, or because I've had a bad day, or because I'm tired, that I get to do whatever I want. But when you read scripture, especially Jesus' words, is that the case? No, man, if they smack you, give them the other thing, they're trying to take advantage of you, walk an extra mile. I mean, it's pretty intense. And so really the first rule of healthy communication is you cannot throw highly valuing someone. And actually, I had this moment tonight.
Very good.
It just happened.
When did it happen?
Before.
Tell us now.
We got here early, like 15 minutes early. I hope David gives me permission.
I guess he is. He's like, what?
Like a deer in headlights. So we got here, and I always have bad allergies when I'm up here, and that's an excuse. I'm starting with an excuse.
You shouldn't do that, because you should don't forget
yes.
to keep on.
And I forgot. And so I got very irritated with David, because remember last night when I said, hey, do we have greatest words ever spoken? What did he say?
He said no.
No. But tonight I walked in, and it was like the Holy Spirit was like, you realize your son is just like you, which means he probably didn't really look at all the boxes. I went, did you look at all the boxes? He's like, no. And I went, ah. So that kind of irritated me. So I go back there, and lo and behold, guess what we found?
Found one of the books. Yep, found it.
The greatest words ever spoken.
Yep.
It's there. And at that point, I proceeded to get very snappy. It wasn't, hey, David. I don't know if I should ask
yeah,
him any
questions.
Yeah, you should
ask him. Yeah.
Be honoring. Remember, not everyone understands our horribly inappropriate style of humor. On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being I was kind of totally out of control, 1 being it was no big deal at all, how badly did I react this evening when we found the missing book? Mm-hmm. A 6? I'll show you a 6. No, is that for real? It was a 6. Now, yep. Here's what's important. You're seeing live in action. I would have given myself like a 5 or 4, but does it matter what I think?
No.
It doesn't. It really doesn't, because relationships are relative. Mm-hmm. What matters is what he thinks, what she thinks, what you think. That's all that matters. It really doesn't matter what my intention was or what level I thought I was at.
Like your level of crankiness.
Yeah.
You thought your level of crankiness was
4.
A 4.
Let's give it a 4.
Yeah.
3.7.
Oh, yes. 4. Maybe
but he's
even
saying
a 2.
It's at a nice solid 6. Like a 5.8 or like a 6? 6.
All yeah, right. He's not coming down off that
yeah.
6. No,
just
you,
went up
you
to
got a
7.
6. Yeah.
And so, but here's what's so cool, okay? Because I don't know. Maybe I did this just so you could hear this tonight to understand good communication. But the Holy Spirit did convict me. I didn't get ugly. But I was definitely like, are you kidding me? This is, come on, dude. This is like the, yeah, I definitely did, I guess, get pretty shaming. And so I got convicted, and then the sweet kid that he is, we're doing worship. Thank you, Paco. Which is like, by the way, the greatest name ever. Paco.
It is cool.
I do. I just like saying
I know.
Paco.
Paco.
Hey, Paco, you want to go get some tacos? So I bet he's never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
So David comes up during worship. And he goes, hey, listen, and I thought I was about to be like, you know, reprimanded, like, hey, that really hurt my feelings, whatever. But no, he was very loving. And he said, hey, just let everyone know that if they didn't sit on a card, I have extras at the table. So now he's being really sweet. So I feel totally convicted. So if you like, y'all probably saw me hugging him and talking to him. You can vouch. I'm not making this up. They saw. So I hugged him. I said, listen, I need to apologize for my attitude earlier. You did not deserve it. It was over the top. Will you forgive me? I sincerely apologize. And that's really the heart of being honoring. It is not about being perfect, because that's literally impossible. You have allergies. Mm-hmm. You're at camps. You have cranky spouses. You have kids.
Hey, I don't know who she's talking about.
No, I wasn't. I literally wasn't talking about kidding. You. Now I am.
I'm just kidding.
You have spouses who try to kill you when you have meningitis.
Oh. I don't know if they're going to want to even hear that.
Oh, that's they like, want to no. hear that
but
one.
But anyway, but I do like the, I love that makes the point of the how we do our relationships, is that when we mess up, we try as quickly as we can to try to correct it, and we forgive each other fairly quickly. Like David, even within that, he knows he honors his father, and in general, Michael honors David, and so there's a sense of, right? Well, I'm just saying, in that instance.
Hey, David. Between your mother.
Oh, no, you're not allowed to answer that question. No, but I'm saying in general, we try to treat each other well and try
to
honor.
Who do you like more?
Anyway, so we try to honor each other. And when you have a culture of honor, we have a culture of treating each other well. It is a little bit easier for him to kind of slough it off and be able to say, okay, if he apologizes to me, great. If he doesn't, that's okay too. And he
actually
came up,
you know,
and had
so
a great attitude.
Him. After I apologized, he hugged me and said, Dad, I really appreciate that you always come to me after you've messed up and apologize. I was like, I kind of do, don't I? I'm more amazing than I originally thought.
Oh, yes.
I feel lucky to be around you.
Yeah.
I get this all day, every day.
So, okay. Honor,
wouldn't it
no.
be great if I just got electrocuted right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the greatest Lutheran.
But I think so many times we forget, and we think about how we parent, and we think, oh, I've got to be the authority. And so because I have to be the authority, then I can never kind of let myself down or show that I you know, oh, well.
Made a mistake.
Or weakness or something. No, there is a strength in humility when it happens like that. Your kids will be drawn to you, and they're going to be drawn to, you know, how many times, you know, in your childhood do you remember your parents actually apologizing to you? I'm telling you, it's more and more likely now, but it was not the case years and years ago. Now, why was that? I don't know. I don't really know what it was about.
Life was harder.
Well, life was
People
harder, but there's
like
a
45.
Sense of I'm the authority and you're the kid. And so there's this big kind of discrepancy of big discrepancy or this big barrier of authority that we need. If we're going to teach our children how to be humble and how to be Christ's servants and how in the world are we when we've messed up? Have you been to that place where when you've messed up with Christ, when you've gone off, you've gone to, you know, even to a rebellious place, even in your heart, how are you going to know God's forgiveness if you haven't seen both sides of it? If you haven't experienced it, and then you also haven't given it? You need to be able to give forgiveness. So, you know, David, you're so lucky that you're the only one here, because we get to totally highlight the golden boy, right? Because, you know, David is amazing.
He is the baby.
And so, oh, yeah, we're
and
both
we
the babies
all
in our
know
family,
that the
too.
The babies are the best.
And, you know, and so there's a part of, I just want to, I want to tell you something else that that is absolutely amazing about David, too. Could it, and how he set that, he's going, okay, come on, Mom. Okay. Because when Michael asked him, did you look through all the boxes, what did he say?
Oh, this is my favorite.
I don't think so, right? Did he say, yep, look through them all? Did he say that? Nope. Because what does David know? David knows that telling the truth. No, David knows that when you tell the truth, it makes things a lot easier, right? So we set each other up, and this is something that we can tell our children too, and that we ourselves can live out, and we can be able to say, if you tell me the truth, it's going to go a whole lot better for you, right? And well, and that little six of Michael, imagine if he would have said, nope, look through them all, they're not, there's none in there. And then Michael were to go back there,
I'm
and he
Reaganite,
saw them.
So I
right?
trust but verify.
Right. So he goes back there. Now his six, wherever he was at a six, would probably, on a scale of 1 to 10, he would have likely been set up to be at a 7, 8, right?
I wouldn't have had the right to do that.
He wouldn't have, it wouldn't have been,
up.
Right. It wouldn't have been okay, but it definitely, you would have understood why it would have prompted him to be more, or set him up to be more irritated and more cranky. But that's one of the things that I love about having a relationship with someone and being able to, the more trust that we have in each other, that I love that when you can be honest and we set each other up, we set David up, we set ourselves up for when we don't really know for sure, when something is not an adamant yes or an adamant no, then we're able to say, you know what, that it's my understanding. I really tried to look through all the boxes, or this is what, you know, I thought that we were supposed to meet at 5, and it, you know, he thought it was 5:30 and I thought it was 5, and I can say, you know what, I'm going to hold on to my truth, and we're not going to battle that. And that's going to be something we're going to talk about later. But being able to truly speak the truth, and to be able to have that wanting to have that communication, and wanting to give each other the right information, and not to be kind of withholding because we think we're going to get in trouble.
So in communicating, you got to remember to keep honoring and valuing, like, first and foremost in your head, but also, how can I word what I want to say in a positive manner? And really what this is taking charge of your emotions. That's where we get in so much trouble, is you think that you have no control. Like, if your kid lies to you, or if your spouse lies to you, or if somebody does something negative, well, I can't help but do whatever I do. And is that true? No, clearly it's not. But at some point, we have to start making choices in our heads. And those choices, like I shared briefly, my father was, you know, raised by an abusive alcoholic. And he was not an affectionate, positive, loving person, because he was never shown that. But then he one day realized that he needs to add that. So I don't know what conversation they had about 5 years into their marriage with two kids, but I'm pretty sure my mom was giving him a big warning, because whatever it was they talked about, it scared him into a lifelong journey of learning how to be a better husband and a better father. And he became that, was never perfect. Still hurt my feelings, hurt your feelings. Oh my Lord, the two of you would get into it. Oh, like the rest of my family, except I guess my dad, we're all avoiders, right? So
you need to tell them what an avoider is.
Well, I think they know. Do you know what an avoider? It's not like a...
You just avoid conflict, yeah. And you just stew, and you just let it just put it under
avoid.
The rug, and just let it pile up and pile up and pile up until it finally you blow up. Keep going.
Maybe never blow up. I don't want to talk
the
anymore.
The going postal is kind of, yeah.
It can be. And then you have your escalators.
Those are the people that...
You're never confused how they feel. Ever.
Discernment is not always happening.
No, it is not.
So the idea of, can I word things positive manner? That is a really big thing for me. Because, you know, I will say there's some people that are like me. They'd be like, what? I was just telling the truth. Right?
Oy.
But it's like, yeah, this
people
is just
are
who
looking
I am.
At each other.
And I'm like, oh, I so feel your pain, but it's really not getting
you
where you want to go.
In almost 24 years have I told you, I didn't need to know this. Ever. Why? I felt it.
Well, I mean, there's just certain things. I mean, we know to have tact outside sometimes. We, you know, sometimes more than others. We know how to, you know, oh, you know what? If someone has a hurt leg or something, that's not the immediate thing that you talk about. Oh, how'd you hurt your leg? You know, no, you want to be nice to the person first and, you know, whatever. But being able to show that same discernment within your marriage and within your family, it's a part of that maturing process that God wants us to have. God wants us to be mature and complete. And what does that look like? It looks like we're growing in what? Kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control. All those things are what? how do they walk themselves out? They walk themselves out in our communication with each other more often than anything else. Because I can be patient in a circumstance, but my patience in a circumstance is going to come out with what do I say and how am I experiencing that circumstance. My gentleness is going to come out in literally in the words that I say. And so being able to take those fruits of the Spirit, that is for me when I struggle with being an escalator. I struggle with just kind of being too blunt. Oh, I may always struggle with being more blunt than others. There's an extreme, right? Because Michael might tend to not tell the truth because he thinks he's in trouble. And I'm over here. Yeah. And then so he doesn't want to get in trouble. And then I'm over here. I can be so blunt. And then it comes across very harsh and critical. You really kind of want to be more in balance. So more in balance is, yes, I want to be truthful. I want to be honest, but I want to do it in a gentle and kind way.
Yeah. So what we've, you know, we had talked about the Reignite Your Marriage app, which is super cool. And on there, one of the things, and this, you know, I originally developed the app for the couples that go through our intensive program, because kind of the core skill that couples learn, it's in the book that I just gave you for free for shaming me. Let that sit.
Actually, she was more protecting me.
Yeah,
that's
whatever.
The way I'm
this is my story.
That's the positive view on it. That
it's my memory. And so, one of the core things we teach is a communication method called love talk. Because what you'll find is when things are really heated up, or when big buttons have been pushed, and you're really upset, to help keep the conversation healthy and honoring, a highly structured way to communicate is extremely helpful. So on the app is the Love Talk system. So we have couples use their phones from the app when they need to have a hard conversation because something just went wrong. All right, so you can get all of that. We have all the explanations on how to do Love Talk and what it means. It's totally for free, okay? But what we wanted to focus on tonight were just some of the, because I'll never forget, I had this couple, probably 2005, 2006, right when we moved to the Woodlands, and it was this Catholic couple who didn't go to our church, so I was planting a non-denominational church, but it was kind of affiliated with this big Methodist church in town, and I started the Smalley Institute, you know, had about 14 therapists on staff at the time, and I'm in my office, and this lady calls me and goes, we're in trouble. And I don't even know how she got my extension because I had, you know, front office people and all that stuff. I went, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. She goes, I'm actually headed over to the lawyer's office to finalize the divorce. I went, oh, okay. Well, is there anything I can do to help? She goes, well, I'm starting to think maybe we shouldn't be getting divorced. I'm like, now? You're just now? Okay. I went, look, call your husband. They were driving separately. And if he's open, I'll meet with you today. She's like, oh, thank you. So, of course, they show up, which is crazy, right? Literally driving. It was done. They had spent $60,000, $70,000 to get to this point to just sign the papers. So now they're sitting in my office, and I go, well, tell me what's been going on. And in essence, she said, my husband has a major anger problem. He's emotionally abusive. And I went, ooh. All right, well, like, what do you mean by that? Because what I have found is people tend to come into my office and they mislabel their spouse constantly. I hate Google and WebMD, Wikipedia. I mean, I went for years to school on how to learn how to diagnose people, and yet lay people think, oh, yeah, he's a narcissist for sure. And they don't fully get all the nuance of diagnosing. So I tend to go, well, help me understand, because I want to hear why do you think this? Because maybe it's true. She goes, well, kind of the main thing he does is he's a huge LSU fan. He went to LSU. And when he's watching football, he screams. And I go, oh, does he scream at you? She goes, no. Who's he yelling at? Well, he's yelling at the TV. And like the refs, especially when they make a bad call. And I go, I yell at the TV when I'm watching Baylor. I don't know if that falls under emotionally abusive. And the more it gets unpacked, I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. And so I asked her something, and it really upset her. Because she's like, what do you think? Because I hear their story, and obviously, clearly this couple did not need to get divorced. And she goes, well, what do you think? I go, let me ask you, do you have kids? Yeah, 10 and 8. And I go, so if I brought them in and asked them whether they think you should get divorced, what would they say? How dare you drag my children into this? I went, how dare you? I didn't do that. But it would have been cool. You can't handle the truth. And so she's like, it's really upset. And I go, hold on. In my personal opinion, they should have the biggest say. Because they're the ones who have to go from house to house and this to that. It impacts them the most. So I'm just, so they deserve to have a say at least.
At least to be heard.
Yeah. And she goes, and she starts bawling. She's like, of course they wouldn't want us to divorce. They love their dad and yada, yada, yada. And so over the course of meeting with them, and they started attending my church, over the maybe a couple of months, we just, you know, it was hard going at first. She was a pretty stubborn little lady. But at one point, the husband, as they're trying to learn communication, the husband just goes, in one of our times together, he goes, you know, I've been thinking about your communication method, love talk. And he goes, it seems like the most important role is that of the employee, is someone's ability to just simply listen and understand. And that was such an amazing insight. Because when it comes to good communication, I'm just telling you, it ain't about you. It's about you trying to seek understanding and validating the other person. The other person can be totally out of control. If you get in to listening and understanding and validating that person, I'm telling you, they will calm down unless they're a sociopath. And if they're a sociopath, you're probably already living somewhere scary anyways, and they've, you know, had several attempts on your life, so you shouldn't be with them anyways.
I don't want to get, I mean, there have been some times that no matter what you said, I probably wouldn't have been validated. So I'm not saying
like
I'm
sociopath. Socio.
I'm just saying sometimes you're so worked up that you're not.
I'm exaggerating.
In that moment, you might not be ready to hear.
Well, in the moment, but eventually.
But I'm telling you, being able to look beyond the words that someone is saying and being able to say that person's hurting. That person, what would compassion look like right now? And understanding, what does it, when God says live, I actually put this scripture in here for a reason. It's the 1 Peter 3. Of course I did it for a reason. But anyway, in the same way, your husband must give honor to your wives, treat your wife with understanding. I think that sometimes, you know, husbands, because you're so logical, that you're like, I don't understand you. I don't understand you, and I don't want to understand you. You're hormonal. I don't get it. And so you just like dismiss everything, every single thought that we have, because you're like, oh, you're just saying that because you're crazy.
Can I word that in a more honoring way?
Sure.
Sometimes husbands can feel overwhelmed. They're feeling overwhelmed, and then they make poor choices after.
But they shut off their understanding.
I know.
They shut off their understanding because they might feel overwhelmed, but they're like, I don't get you. You're like
Shut down, way different
from me. And so I don't know what to do with, you know, it's so funny because now I'm working in a church, right? And I'm a women's pastor. So it's really weird for me, right, to be in this authority kind of thing. And because it's not usually my thing. There's a lot of men in here and they don't know when I cry. They're like, oh my gosh, you're crying. Like, what do we do? Oh my gosh, what do I do? And I'm like, it's just, I'll be fine. I'm going to be fine. I'm just a little upset right now. I'll get over it. But it's just my way of processing stuff, right? And they all get really freaked out about it, right? And they
sounds
and,
like a sociopath, doesn't it?
No, but I mean, if something I'm very, very passionate
right
about, I'm very, very passionate about women's ministry and about women loving God and, you know, my Bible studies and yes, it's a very big deal to me. And when something thwarts that, it really hits me.
Do you ever want to hurt people?
Yeah.
What do the voices tell you?
And then I might start crying, but I'm saying all that because guess what? I know I'm a little crazy, but I'm not really that crazy. And I know that there are women out there that are a lot like me, and your wife may be one of those, or your mother may be one of those, or whatever. And so I say that to say, don't get you I understand why you might feel overwhelmed, but the understanding is basically is you just taking away, even tonight, and being able to say, wow, I can see what I'm feeling is, wow, really overwhelmed, but maybe there's something behind this. And though for me, if someone will just say, Amy, I so understand how maybe how you're feeling, or I understand your frustration.
Or even help me understand.
Or, oh my, yeah, help me understand. If someone will just say, okay, can you just maybe explain that a little bit more, or, you know, go into my world a little bit and don't tell me I'm wrong. Then that right there, that's the validation piece. Validation says that I care about you more than proving me right or you wrong. So it's not going to be about right or wrong. It's going to be about, I care about you. And so what would I care about you sound like in the moment? It would sound like in the moment, not like, oh my gosh, you are crazy. And I know that look when people look at me like I'm crazy, right? And so, and your spouse knows it too. And they know it when you're tuning out. They know that too. So being able to understand, someone says, I make eye contact with you and I try to understand where you're coming from. Even if I don't get it, I just ask questions. I just ask open-ended questions. Wow, man, that seems like that is really overwhelming. Man, that, how, you know, what does that look like for you? Whatever that might look like.
And I think one of the biggest things with communicating well with others is the what is going on behind. And what's so funny is, I mean, don't you even do that for yourself?
Yes,
like, why did
yeah.
I just explode? Or
oh, I
why
do that.
Did I just, like, I'm telling you, this evening, I snap at my son. As I'm walking back to the front, I'm already going, why did I do that? Why was I, again, not brutal, but why was I over the top? And I started thinking, well, all right, you had that incident today, and you're tired, and your allergies, and you're just cranky, and whatever. We were tired today. We went to the free pancake breakfast, and I went back to sleep. When do I ever do that?
Hardly ever.
May have been all the pancakes, eggs, bacon, and sausage. And we didn't do our walk around the lake, which I tried to get her.
Oh, no.
She was like, oh, no. I'm too tired.
Uh-huh.
It's too hard.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, no, that was me. We'll do it tomorrow morning, though, early.
Sure we will. Okay.
You all can hold me accountable to it.
Well, they were trying to
today.
You
may not do anything ugly. Who did?
They were going to. We're going to ask about it, but.
I know, and I have already confessed.
So, but
the point is,
yes,
is that I got, okay, I have to think about even my own actions. What was driving that? It's this constant theme of take charge of your life, right? You're not a victim. And there are reasons. And if you would stop sometimes and just even ask yourself that question, why did I just do that? Or why? Because, I mean, how many of you are aware when you treat someone poorly? I'm just curious. Is that a hard thing to figure out? You know, is this like rocket science? Like, well, I don't know. It's a mystery. No. You know, especially if you truly are a disciple of Christ, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And what is one of the Holy Spirit's primary duties?
Conviction.
Conviction, right? And so it's pretty hard to be ignorant of when we're blowing it. But when someone else is blowing it with you, you can ask the same question. And like we said a couple nights ago, maybe it was maybe Sunday night, if someone is mistreating you, or maybe it was during my sermon, if someone is mistreating you poorly, what does that say? They have an owie on their heart, right? They're clearly not doing well. And when you engage on trying to empathize and understand what that might be, they transform in front of your eyes, I'm telling you.
Something that you were saying, we have trained our brains. When Michael was saying, why did I act like that? Why did he do that? You have to train your brain not to go immediately to I'm just so tired, or give yourself the excuse. When he's saying, why did I do that? It wasn't, this is my excuse, dot, 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 dot. He's saying, okay, this is what set me up. Now what's my choice? See, it's a very big difference because there are circumstances that set us up. And when he was able to say, okay, I get my allergies, I get da-da-da-da, but then what is he able to do? He and the Holy Spirit, with from there to there, went from, okay, babe, I get it. I can show compassion on you because you've had, you were retired, your allergies, all that stuff. But guess what? Now respond. Now do the right thing. Now go and tell David you're sorry. That's sometimes what we forget, as we just blow it off. We just say, oh, well, I'm tired, so sorry. They'll understand. We don't do that. We don't do that as a couple. We don't do that as a family, because we literally train our brain not just to take our excuses or our things that are naturally things that we could possibly need compassion for, which is okay, right? Compassion for, but we don't just allow that compassion to not lead to action or to a better reaction.
And when you're trying to understand, the last point up here is so stinking important, is repeat back what you think the person is trying to say. And the reason you want to repeat things back that people are trying to say, even when they're upset, is that that is kind of the quickest, easiest way to help someone feel validated. Is to go, hey, let me make sure I understand what you're saying, or is this what you mean? Because when you repeat back the words they're using, so, I mean, David didn't use a word, but he could have said, hey, I really felt criticized or condemned tonight. Then I would want to make sure that he really gets that I'm trying to understand and validate him. I'd want to go, man, I get that. I was kind of way over the top, and that came across super condemning. See how that works? I'm just telling you, if you want to melt someone in a positive way, you know, just have them melt, like, you just validate them.
Absolutely.
So now, let's go. We had some other scripture here as well. What is this one? Proverbs 2:2. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding.
That's all about understanding. Toning my ears, not to what I'm going to say next, but to what you're saying, to what the other person is saying.
And to really understand. At the core,
yeah.
Get off of the facts. It is not ever about the facts if someone is upset. Ever, 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 ever. I cannot express that enough. And here's why. Because facts are arguable. We have an entire system in America called...
the judicial system.
Yes, thank you. The justice system.
Yes.
Or judicial.
It's judicial.
With lawyers and judges. And so you can take any set of facts, right? And then you have a prosecuting attorney and a what?
Defense attorney.
Defendant. Or defend, what
defense
are they
called? Attorney. Defense attorney.
Defense attorney. I don't even, obviously I don't pay attention. And so you have a prosecutor and a defense attorney. They are both looking at the same facts. And what are they doing with those facts? Twisting
yes.
them to suit their needs, which, by the way, is exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. When you're conversations with the people that matter most to you spiral out of control, I guarantee that you're focused on facts. I can't believe you made that comment at our small group tonight. What comp? I did not say that. You so, right? Does that feel familiar at all? Or we... I used to get in trouble a lot for what I said up here. Believe it or not, I was worse than what you've heard. Or you've just come to accept my sickness.
A lot of it I've just come to accept. But being able to... But
that's fair.
This is the point. This is the point that is so hard for me, because I said to you I have a hard time sometimes with discernment, right? And so for me to choose... Because I'm a fairly black and white person. Like, I see things pretty much right and wrong. Like, justice is a very big deal to me. Like, I want to do things right. I'm an achiever. And so to be an achiever, you got to go. You got to be truth. You got to keep going. And you know, and so for me, that was so incredibly hard for me to get off of the facts. But down deep, what do I, and any fact-driven black and white thinker, what do we still want? I still want to be loved. I still want to be accepted. And if I want to be loved and I want to be accepted, guess what? I've got to model that, right? I have to give that. So I have to give love. I have to give acceptance. And what does that look like? It looks like we don't see the same. We do not see this the same way.
You remember when we first got married? I'd never been around an escalator.
Oh,
I didn't know that people yelled at people. I really didn't. Other than like football coaches. And so we get married, and this chick was raised in an escalatory home.
I mean, we're Italian, sort of.
You're not even
really,
Italian.
But yeah.
You might as well be.
We're
you
not.
Could be Italian.
We're not.
Puerto Rican.
We're not Italian at all, like from Arkansas. So no, then we're not Italian. But we did. We
Holy
argued the God. Facts, and we would get more and more heated.
My first Christmas at her home, I'm 21 years old. We got married. I was 21. How old were you?
Whatever.
Cradle robber.
Yeah.
She's 11 months
older.
I'm
still 21. So
it's my first Christmas away from home, and we're around the Christmas dinner, and your family erupts into this catastrophic debate. I think it was over a flag of some country, where the next thing I know, they are screaming at each other. And for them, it wasn't a big deal, though. You got to understand this. For them, it was like every dinner. For me, I'm like going, what have I done? I should have dated longer. Because somebody gets, you remember the old encyclopedias? Yeah, someone's getting an encyclopedia. I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I go, ran upstairs and cried. I did. I was totally freaking out because I didn't know people yelled. So early on, I'd go, I did, which was not a healthy way to communicate because I was making a factual statement.
Yeah.
But I would go, you're yelling at me. And then she would say,
No, I'm not.
And I'd go, yes, you are. And then she would say, do you want to hear me yell? And I go,
It's true.
She was.
It's true.
And then something would come flying across the room.
No, not that far. But it was, because to me, in my brain, I was like,
now
that
who's
is factually.
Now who's going to get electrocuted?
I'm like, exactly. No, I did not throw things. Maybe I threw a shoe, maybe.
Yes!
Once. Maybe once. But very rarely.
That a shoe is a thing.
But not like at you.
Don't try to use my stuff against me, buddy. Hey, actually, though, that's such a good point. What happens when you stick on the facts? What were we just doing? And for fun, but you spiral right out of control, right? I've never thrown anything. Oh, my gosh, you so have. Oh, maybe a shoe. A shoe is a thing. Because we're in the court, right? I don't even know who the judge is. We're both probably trying to be judge and jury.
And that's the problem. That's the problem that happens is because when you start arguing like that, you want someone to be the judge to say, you are right, Amy. No, you are wrong, Michael. And the reality is, that's what I would
what
want.
What did you do?
I said, you are right, Amy. You are wrong, Michael.
That's you need some gesture.
No. But that's what you want. But does that happen? It doesn't happen. And so for me, you know,
I'm
Michael.
I'm never wrong.
Yeah. So for me, what happened was I had to get to the place where he said to me, Amy, he goes, I know that you may not feel like you're yelling at me.
And by the way, for you and your family, it wouldn't be.
No.
I can totally acknowledge.
And so for him to get off of whether or not it was, you know, a spiritual, you know, huge deficit and condemn me and shame me for speaking in a loud voice or whatever, a more strict tone or whatever
the tone
that I was in or whatever it was. Snappy, whatever common language we could come up with, right? Okay, for him not to live in condemnation and shame of me of that, then for me to be able to say, I want Michael to feel yelled at? No, I don't want him to feel yelled at because guess what? He's going to feel shamed and criticized as well. So if you don't want to basically have each other almost like mirror some of the same feelings, because when he starts shaming me, I'm going to most likely more shame him. Guess what? But when I try to understand him, guess what? It also sets him up to understand me. And so when I was able to say, Michael, I don't want you to feel yelled at, and I truly am sorry. I am open to communicating with you differently. And whenever you do, you know, hear me yelling at you or, you know, talking to you in a loud voice, if you will let me know, I'm open to having more gentleness and to really kind of, you know, taking it down a couple of notches. And unfortunately, I mean, I'm a nice person. I mean, you wouldn't know it, right? But I mean, I am a very nice person, but there is,
hey, if you have to tell people you're nice, you might not be very nice.
But that's the thing. That's the thing is that I am, in general, a very nice person. But sometimes I really don't know when I've crossed over and I've started getting into that, because I'm like...
Can I be positive about you?
Yeah. I love that.
Because she is an extraordinarily loving person. Like, she has a deep well of love for others. And this is what's so insane about life and relationships in particular. For you and for her, her tone or her bluntness, I'm telling you, would not offend or hurt her. I know this because I'm such an absurd avoider. It's pathetic. It's not good. So there have been times throughout our marriage where I have to, like for me, I have to feel like I'm bowing up like a grizzly bear and I need to confront something or whatever. You don't freak out. She doesn't melt down. She's not, oh my gosh, you're being so mean. She can handle that stuff. Therefore, that's why it can get, like, there's some people you could deal with that are going to be fine. It's no skin off their back. The problem is when you're not dealing with someone who's similar to you. And just so you know, just because I'm passive and avoiding, can I not equally come across offensive to you when I'm being avoidant?
Yes.
You know, like, because if you know I'm shut down, you feel like I'm punishing you.
Yes. Yeah.
And if she's escalating, I feel like she's punishing me. So just because if you're like me, you're not off the hook. Just because I'm not blunt and yelling and red-faced at somebody doesn't mean that when I'm handling myself inappropriately or in an unhealthy way that I'm not doing an equal amount of damage. I am. I'm just doing my damage differently.
Yeah, because sometimes avoiding, the reason why you're avoiding is because you're genuinely mad.
Oh,
you're
100%.
Genuinely just as angry, but you're just doing anger differently. Mm-hmm. So being able to understand each other and living in that understanding way means that, and that's, you know, we teach our children this. They know if they're a withdrawer, they know if they're an escalator, they know what their natural bent is. And it just because it's my natural bent doesn't, it just means that's God's workmanship in me. That's where it starts. So for Michael, he's going to have a lot harder time telling the truth. I'm just telling you. I'm just point blank asking. Because if you want to know the truth and how something actually happened, you need to come to me. Because I'm factually, I know this facts. Because I remember them.
You might want to clarify what you meant by and have something actually happen.
Well, I'm just saying, like...
That came across rough, like, or blunt.
Yeah. Okay, our honeymoon. He used to tell the honeymoon story, and he used to say that we left on day 5. It was actually day 6. We used to get... And really, I would, like, interrupt him, and it would be a bad thing. And you don't interrupt a storyteller. That's bad, right? It's like, who cares if it was day 5 or day 6? Who cares? So I had to get in my head that... But if you come to me afterwards and you say, hey, Amy, how did that honeymoon actually go? And then, did you guys really leave on day 5? Actually, it really was day 6. And then I give the opening to actually tell a little bit more detail of my interpretation.
Our kids growing up always knew they could go to mom and she will always be truthful.
Absolutely.
And I gave them tremendous amount of opportunities. Because my goal as a father was to try to convince them of things that were impossible. So, like, when my daughter was 7, I think, 7?
No, she was 9 because she was almost 10.
Oh, my Lord,
10.
She was
9.
She was talking about her 10th birthday. She was super excited. We're in the jacuzzi. Out of nowhere, I'm like, I wonder if I could convince her of putting her into the story of Superman.
Where she was going to get her superpowers.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey, I got to tell you something.
She's an alien.
You're actually adopted. She's like, what? I go, yeah, we found you in a field. You were in a spacecraft. She's like, hold on a minute. And it's like she wanted this to be true, so it was kind of easy.
She was reading a lot of sci-fi books at the time.
Yeah. I haven't been able to tell you this, but I can't avoid it anymore because when you turn 10, you're going to start developing your powers. I mean, she was like, it was almost like I could hear her going, I knew it. I know I was special. So I've convinced her that she's an alien. I made up a planet name. She is beyond excited. She comes flying. This is one of my favorite memories. She comes flying out of the jacuzzi, goes running into the house, and I could hear her yelling, Mom! Mom!
Am I an alien?
And I wish I could have filmed your reaction, because I can only imagine my literal wife going, what? What are you doing?
No, honey, you're not an alien.
You ruined it.
I do.
I know.
Because somebody has to tell the truth. So.
Not that truth.
Yes.
Let the kid dream. And I convinced them of so many absurd
yes.
things.
Oh, yeah. We don't even get
especially
going
with
there.
All my scars.
So,
but no scar is worse than my scar on my heart from when I almost died
from
meningitis.
No, the ultimate goal is to reach understanding and then land on a win-win solution. We haven't even talked about that.
It's a quick one.
Okay.
The ultimate goal in any conversation you're having with someone that really matters, well, with anybody, but especially with the people that matter the most, your spouse, your children, your family, your extended family, whatever, is a win-win solution. And that's not real complicated until you're on site. So it's easy if you both sort of land on the same understanding and you realize, yeah, this is the right thing, let's do it. It's more complicated when you've had a conversation, you've tried to keep it honoring, you've been valuing each other, and then when it comes down to that solution, it's like, but I think we need to do this, but I think we need to do that. Now it can get ugly again, right? But in a relationship, it is unacceptable to ever have a win-loss. You cannot have a solution in a relationship where someone feels like that solution is a loss. Now, the only possibility, and I said this earlier, what'll help you get to those win-wins is to remember it's not about me. And do I have an opportunity to serve or sacrifice for this person? I mean, that was a huge lesson Christ taught us when we were locked in a big old battle. And we thought, I mean, neither of our ideas were wrong. And we were so stuck for weeks. And it wasn't until I was praying and crying out to the Lord going, we're never going to resolve this. Because we have opposite desires of what we want to resolve it. And we cannot come to a win-win. And the Lord just showed me very powerfully that, well, maybe, Mike, the win is for you to be a sacrifice for your wife. What if you laid down your life for her? And what if you said the win was her win? I went, ow. Kind of like what you did for us. Ah, that hurts, doesn't it?
And I think when you experience those wins like that, and when I explain this to my couples, I'm like, you can't say, okay, we'll do your win, and then you don't actually follow through with a happy heart. Because if you do something, and then you're like, okay, yeah, we'll go ahead and do yours, but, you know, whatever. You know, you won. We'll do that. If you do that, guess what? You might as well not have bought in on that win. But when you do it and you say, this is a win, this is what I truly do feel like, you know, this is the solution that is best for our family. I feel like God is leading us this direction. You know, it's going to be a little bit harder for me, but I want to let you know I get it. And I want to do it. You know, I think even just taking over the care of Poppy, I mean, that was something that kind of came and God revealed that to both of us. And we kind of knew in a sense that this was going to be a hard thing for both of us and for our family, but we did it willingly. Mm-hmm. And so because we did it willingly, when things came up that were hard, and there were different things that were hard, like things that would bother Michael didn't really bother me, and things that bothered me didn't really bother Michael. And so there were different things, but we knew that we were going in the right direction. We knew that God had led us into that thing because we did it ultimately to honor him. We did it ultimately because we were laying down our lives as a family, laying down our lives as a couple, because we knew that we wanted to be an example of Christ's love. When you do that for each other, there's a sense of God empowers you to walk that out. And so when something happens, and I mean, I can remember going, oh my gosh, God, this is so hard and it is so unfair. And I was you get in your little pity party that I get because the situation didn't quite work out the way that I wanted it to or whatever. And I was going, God, do you see this? Do you see what I'm doing? Do you see, are you honoring this? Because it doesn't seem like it matters to anybody else. And God goes, I see you. I see you. You are doing this for me. And so ultimately, when you lay down your life for your spouse, when you lay down your life for your family, when you are doing something like that, God sees you. And so it's not just that this relationship is improved, but it's this relationship that is improved. And you get to have that marker of you know, in scripture, when it talks about how, you know, Abraham, when he, you know, when he saw something from the Lord, he would always have these little markers. And that's one of those things that for Michael and I, we have several of those in our marriage that we're literally able to say, you did that for me. Wow.
And
you did that for
faithful.
Me. And God was faithful in the middle of that. It's a great, I'm so, well, I just, I mean, you know, we don't have to do the story. It's like, wait, it's almost
enough
time now.
Yeah,
we don't need to talk about meningitis.
I thought you were dragging that out.
I wasn't dragging it out at all.
I was like, she's really going a long time on this one
point.
Yeah,
I know. You're going, hey.
Well, let me do some giveaways. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm a liar and a thief because I said I was going to do the meningitis thing tonight. But I did not think we would go this long.
Well, we had worship.
We have to be honoring.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes. Yeah, so
hey, it was Paco's
fault. Maybe we'll have
fault.
To do it tomorrow.
Stinking Paco.
No, that was worship. That was awesome. I
hey,
loved
I'm
it. I think we're going to have more tomorrow.
You're taking things too quick because okay. I'm trying to explain. There we
okay,
go.
Sorry.
I was like, she's sabotaging. So.
Oh, we're going to do all of them?
No. No.
I'm
so on. David, because he's our merch dude. He actually travels with me. Because we homeschool. We're one of those families. And so he was like, you know, I was like, hey, what kind of David special should we do? So what we're going to do is if you buy any three books back there, I don't know how many different books we have, three or four, but any three books, we're going to give you, and it's really cool, we brought the DNA of Relationships DVD study. And so that was the last study my dad and I filmed together. Isn't that crazy? So we have that. We'll give that to you for free. So if you want, and if you bought books already, if you want to buy two more to get the DVD series, you can totally do that. We'll trust you. And if you lie, we all know where liars go. And things are falling apart, crap stuff. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to give some stuff away. Now, this was the book that was not here yesterday, but magically appeared in the box earlier this evening. The Greatest Words Ever Spoken was by Steve Scott. All it is, yeah, it's really by Christ. All he did was take everything Jesus was ever quoted it, so the red letters in your Bible, and he put it in over 200 topics. So what is so extraordinary, no one has ever done that before. And what is so cool is if you go at the beginning, you can look up the topics, and you can go, well, what did Jesus say on marriage? What did he say about love? What did he say about the Holy Spirit? Over 200 topics, you can go turn to that page, and then he basically organized and will put every state, like what Christ said about fear, anxiety, and worry. When you read that in here, I'm telling you, it's extraordinary. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I'm selling right now. So, and here's the other cool thing. If you got this one, this is that Jesus Speaks by Steve. Remember I said go look up your birthday and see what entry is in there? At the bottom of each day's devotion, Steve has a reference to Greatest Words Ever Spoken. So what's really cool is obviously topics are covered every in each daily entry. But if you want to spend more time in what did Jesus say about this particular thing, then this is a great resource to have along with that devotional. I'm telling you, it's mind-boggling. With that study, I wrote this study with Steve, knowing him. It's a 52-week, yeah. That was very Vanna White-ish, yeah. So that is a 52-week study that will come with a free DVD, by the way. So the DVD explains, Steve and I are pushing a new discipleship model because most people tend to be so intimidated about discipling others. We've basically tried to strip that away so that you have no excuse but to be obedient because Jesus kind of said, go make disciples. You kind of can't wiggle your way out of that. I've tried. I tried for years. And so what you'll love about this is you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is go, hey, dude, would you like to have coffees like on Thursday? I have this new study. And you just read the entry. And then you just go through these six questions that you'll ask every single time. Specs. It's the spec model. And so it's a really powerful tool. And I'm telling you, writing with Steve, man, that was wild. That guy's got he's like C.S. Lewis. He remembers everything he's ever read or heard. So he would give me the first draft, and I'd go, I don't know how to improve this. Because he's like putting everything. And the weirdest thing is on this one too, by the way, at the bottom of each entry, we also reference the page number in Greatest Words. Steve did that from memory. I go, hey, I didn't get the page number. He goes, what entry? That's 220 to 225. I'm like, no, it's not. He's like, no, it is. Look it up. I went, dude, there's no way you, oh, my Lord. So that was really freaky. So let's give this one away. Who should we give this one to? Well, I was going to ask who thinks that they have the most demons. So apparently you're the man. Oh, too late now. You got to own that fast draw. Hey, and don't forget, I'll sign it, but also get the DVD that comes with it because it'll explain our discipleship model. I bet you won't be so quick this time, will you? I've already given you one. No, you didn't. I'll exchange it out then because I'm a good person. I'll exchange it for a hug. So the greatest words, who's been discipling people for more than 15 years? Anybody? We got one. Anyone beat 15 years? And I don't mean like a single person. I just mean discipling others. All right, girlfriend, you got it. The American flag. Wait, what happened? Oh, sorry. Behind you. Yeah, she was so excited. She's like, I haven't done it for 15, but I'll take it. All right, you can come up at the end. And then how about this one? Who traveled the furthest to get here? Anybody? Oh. Want to take a shot at it? Who wants to leave the room immediately while I'm giving things away? Oh. Oh, I'm so sorry. Does anyone think they traveled? How far? Really? Near Sacramento? Does anybody beat Sacramento? Oh, a whole bunch of people, dude. He really wanted this, but he didn't lie, did he?
He's trying to get the ball rolling.
He totally didn't lie, so I'll give it to you. He's like, I don't know, Fresno, Clovis. All right, everybody. Thank you very much.
Yes,
tomorrow night, what are we teaching on tomorrow?
What are we teaching on tomorrow?
You're just making a mistake.
I don't know. What are we teaching on tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we are going to cover...
Oh, cool.
Ooh, yeah, the commitment stuff. So that'll be super cool.